going towards the end of the fifth chapter, the famous Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tema Omer. In my Mishnah, that's the 20th Mishnah. I don't know in your editions what Mishnah that is. It's towards the end, like four or five Mishnayot before the end of the fifth chapter. Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Now, this Mishnah, Mishnah says, Yehuda ben Tema, he says, Hevei az kanamir. A person should be brazen, bold, like a leopard. Vekal kanesher, light like an eagle. Veratz katzvi, run like a deer. Vegibor ka'ari, and brave like a lion. La'asot ritzon avicha shebashamayim, to do the will of your father in heaven. So this Mishnah is really quoted by the Tur at the very beginning of Halacha. The first Halacha in the Tur quotes this. This is the balance. How a person is supposed to use all his strengths for the service of God. And there's automatically a discussion of what does it mean to use brazenness in the service of God. So it means sometimes people make fun of a person for doing mitzvot, and he has to be able to stand up to them. Sometimes you need a certain, what they call in Yiddish, a gedut. You need a certain brazenness to be able to stick to your guns even when people knock what you're doing.
How do they say
it in Yiddish? Gedults. So, Yehuda ben Tema says, be brazen like a leopard. I think that this is exactly where they don't want you, Simcha. Sorry. We got to take all the guys into account, the guys online. Sorry.
Not translated as courageous, or
my
siddur is translated as courageous.
As? As courageous?
Yeah, my siddur is the oral spari siddur.
Okay. We'll see that he concludes the Mishnah, being that you're asking, so we'll see his conclusion. He says, Huay Omer Yudav and Tema would say, As panim legeinom. One who has a brazen face will end up in perdition. Uvoshet panim leganeden. But one who is ashamed, he'll make it to the Garden of Eden. Yiratzon min fenech Hashem lokenu shetivnei achav merav yamenu v'ten chakenu b'toratecha. May it be the will of Hashem that he rebuild his city swiftly in our days and give our portion within his Torah. Now, the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that every trade has to be used for the good. Even the brazenness. A person has to use it for the service of his Creator. And the person has to develop within himself to be swift, to be light, to be brave, barkari, brave like a lion, to do the will of his Father in heaven. Rashi on the Mishnah has a very interesting explanation, which is also quoted in the laws of Shabbos. Rashi says this Mishnah in the tractate of Psachim in the Talmud, this Mishnah is quoted in conjunction with the concept that a person has to honor the Sabbath, that a person has to do what he can to honor the Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva teaches, even though it's incumbent upon every Jew to seek it to honor the Shabbat, but if it'll mean that you have to come on to taking loans from people, so asei Shabbatcha chol v'al titzlech labiriyot. Instead of taking handouts, a person should rather have his Sabbath look like a weekday, where he cannot even honor the Shabbat, where all he can do is have his regular weekday meal. He can't afford even a special piece of fish, anything, even the simplest food to honor the Shabbos. He just has his regular bread and butter like every day of the week. So Rabbi Akiva taught that a person should rather have nothing special to eat for Shabbos, and at least he won't have to come on to handouts. He won't come to people giving him free gifts. Right after that, the Talmud brings this quote. Yehuda ben Tema says, be brave, be brazen, like a namer, like a leopard, etc. And so Rashi says that the idea that the Mishnah is teaching us is that a person has to be swift and light and brave and use all these strengths in order to honor the Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's to balance out what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said, on the one hand, if you have no choice, it's a question of coming out onto handouts or you won't have anything special in honor of Shabbos, well then, eat your regular bread with butter and don't come on to handouts. Along comes Yehuda ben Tema and says, but you should really strengthen yourself. You'll eat a little bit less in other meals, cut corners, figure out a way that you still should have a way to honor the Shabbos. And that's how Rashi explains this Mishnah. And this Rashi on the Mishnah is also quoted in Halacha and the laws of Shabbat. That a person has to do whatever he can to save money so that he could have something special for Shabbat. We know if you get a special piece of chocolate, you see something special, you buy a special food, you should save it in honor of Shabbat. Well, if you can, then you should save your money so you could buy it in honor of Shabbat. And that's how Rashi explains the Mishnah. Now, of course, this Mishnah has multiple meanings, for the time being, we'll leave it at that, simply because this time we're learning Pshat. The fact that we have this concluding statement, may it be the will of Hashem that He'll rebuild His city. So this statement, it is unclear whether this statement belongs here or this statement belongs at the end of the chapter. Really, Pirkei Avot consists of five chapters. The sixth chapter is really an addition. It's a bunch of brises that were put together. We will learn that as well, because it's important and it will come especially handy in our dating classes. The sixth chapter has a lot of very important factors about character development. But this sentence, the simple understanding is that we're saying, just as Hashem gave us this gift, that we have shame, we view shame as a gift that God gave the Jewish people, so too, we say Hashem, may it be His will to rebuild the temple, etc. Now we're up to the 21st Mishnah. This Mishnah is quoted in different places in the Medrash, and the Mishnah says a relatively simple thought. Ben chamesh shanim lemikra. When a kid is 5 years old, he should be reading Torah. Ben eser lemishnah. When he's 10, he should develop into the learning of Mishnah. We're going to ben shlosh esrei lemitzvot. We know once he's 13, he's biblically obligated to perform mitzvot. Ben 15 leTalmud. When he's 15, he's supposed to start learning Talmud. Now, really, this Mishnah, on a simple level, is telling us how you educate a kid. On a deeper level, the Mishnah is telling us the intellectual capacities of a kid. When a kid's 5 years old, so he could read, it's fun for him to chant, he enjoys reading the Torah and the Tanakh with the tunes, it's a lot of fun for him. And he could understand the stories. He doesn't ask too many deep questions. He could just read it and hear the stories and absorb it, and you gain that the Torah becomes ingrained in him. He learns it as a chant, as a song, and the words and the concepts become ingrained in him. A child becomes 10 years old, that's when his memory is peaked. Between 10 and 15, he could just remember laws. Kids keep grasp languages, kids, by the same token, the Mishnah is just a bunch of laws without the debt. So, at 10 years old is the time when it's ideal to develop a child with Mishnah, which is just memorizing the laws of the Mishnah. 15 is when a kid's already developed his capacity for delving into concepts and asking and theorizing, and that's when we start Talmud, and if you've built him up to there, so from there on he's already mastered Tanakh, he's already mastered Mishnah. Talmud's going to be easy. The essential concepts of Talmud are going to be the deep thoughts. For us, we don't know the Mishnah. So when we read Talmud, we're still figuring out Mishnah, we don't know Tanakh, we're figuring out the Tanakh, everything's a balagan, right? We're starting late, and we don't have the time to learn things in order. But imagine if you knew all of Tanakh, and you knew all of Shas, then by the time you hit Gemara, 60-70% of the concepts in the Gemara you know already from the Mishnah. So then it's just a question of thinking and figuring out the deep thoughts, the theories behind the Mishnayot. It's a totally different approach to Talmud. The Medrash says that there was a wicked king. We know in Tanakh there was a wicked king named Achaz ben Yosam. He was the father of Chizkiyahu, the king towards the end of the first temple. So Achaz ben Yosam wanted to remove the Shechina from the Jewish people. He said, what can I do to remove the Shechina? God loves the Jewish people. He's not going to leave them. How do I get God to leave? So Achaz said, if I take God head on, I'm not going to win. Mashal lema dover dome, says the Medrash. What's this similar to? The Medrash says that the king had a tutor for his son, and the tutor wanted to kill the prince. So the tutor said, how do I kill the prince? If I kill the prince, the king will kill me. What do? I'm going to detain his wet nurse. If I detain his wet nurse, she'll come late, he'll get sick, eventually he'll die. I'll just keep saying to it that she doesn't make it on time to the feedings. Every time I'll find a different way of detaining her. So too, Acha said, if I want to ensure that the Shechina leaves the Jewish people, the Shechina is with the Jewish people, because the Jewish people have people who are learned in Torah. How do I stop the people from being learned in Torah? I'll disrupt the children. If I disrupt the children, then you won't have adults who are masters of Torah. So Acha has put a lock on the shuls. Acha said, you don't go to shuls. Now, in shuls, that was where they had the cheder. Why do the Sefer Torah have bells on them? Because when they'd walk around with the Sefer Torah, the children would hear the bells ringing, and then they'd know the Rebbe was going into the shul, and it's time to go learn. The shul was the place, that was the cheder. That was where the kids learned. So Acha said, I'm putting a lock on all the shul doors. Kids can't learn. He said, if I disrupt the kids, it's only a matter of time till I see that there are no adults who are masters of Torah, and he was relatively successful. He said, if there are no young goats, there are no old goats. If I stop them when they're young, they won't make it when they're big. And that's this Mishnah. When you teach a child Tanakh when he's 5, you're giving him the foundation for learning Mishnah when he's 10. When he learns Mishnah, then he has the foundation for learning Talmud. When you build it correctly, then it's all built well.
A lot of schools don't do it that way.
So obviously today things have changed. There are different needs, but there are more and more schools that work close to this concept. Our class isn't in Halacha, but if you guys bring it up on Thursday night, there's a lot to discuss about whether one should really try and adopt this now that we see that most of the Jewish people have left this nation. We don't do it this way anymore. So that needs to be discussed, the pros and cons with regard to chinuch. But the guys voted to stop the chinuch class tonight and go on to dating, so we can't go into it. But on Thursday night, if you bring it up, there's a lot to be discussed as to whether it really makes sense to go with the Zilberman method or the Barkai method. Not that I know that much, but I could share with you a little bit of what the fruits I found out when I did research for my own kids with regard to this Mishnah. Ben 18 chupa. 18 years old is the time a person should enter chupa. If it works for him, it's known that the Chafetz Chaim said in his generation, by the age of 24, 25, a person should be getting married. You know, there are a lot of things to factor in, like we discussed in our dating class last week. You can't just take a formula and say, 18 years old, you got to get married, okay. Let's get married. No, it doesn't work that way. Like the Rambam said, on biblical mitzvot, if someone's not performing them, we usually tell them, buddy, you got to perform. The guy says, I don't want to keep Shabbos. So assuming we have a religious society and 99% of the community is keeping all of the Torah, and then you have one guy who wakes up one morning and says, I don't want to keep Shabbos. So then we'd call him in and we'd say, you better keep Shabbos. No such thing. We're not talking about today where you have whole communities that don't keep Torah. It's a different story. But in a time where everyone's keeping Torah, then we'd tell a guy, why do you want to be different? Why aren't you keeping this mitzvah? So the Rambam says, why don't we do that about marriage?
Why?
If you see a guy who's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, he's not getting married, why don't we call him into the courts and tell him, buddy, you have a mitzvah, get married. Why aren't you getting married?
Was there a period of time where they did that?
No. So the Rambam says we'd never do that because we could never force Shabbos. You tell a guy you better keep Shabbos or else. Marriage, you can't tell a guy you better get married or else, because how do you know who he's supposed to get married to? You can't tell him that. That's what the Rambam says.
I heard that at some point, maybe during the Middle Ages or something, anyone between the ages of 20 and 60, if he wasn't married, there was some big problem with that.
I don't know. The Mishnah continues, Ben Esrim Lirdof. When a person hits the age of 20, that's the time he's got to start running after Parnasa. That's when a person enters the stage where he's going to run after making a livelihood. Ben Shloshim Lekoach. At 30, he is already ripe, his strength is ripe. We know that's when the Levites started serving. So even though a person might have more strength technically at 18 or 20, but we say there's a certain ripeness to the strength, to knowing how to use it, and that a person gains that at the age of 30. We also don't appoint a chazan on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur if we could avoid it, if he's less than 30. Ben Arbaim Lebina. When a person hits 40, so he's got more understanding, to understand how to give good advice. Ben Chamishim Le'itza. At 50, it's a good idea to take his advice. At 40, his mind has reached, 40 is Bina, he's got the understanding, he could figure things out better. 50 is the time when he's ripe for giving advice. Ben Shishim Le'zikna. At 60, we say he's already reached the age where he is old and he's one of the elders that's worth taking counsel for. Ben Shivim le Seva, at 70 he reaches the age which we call Seva Tova, he's reached a good old age, and at that age we have to stand up. Any 70-year-old that gets into the room or gets onto a bus, we have to stand up out of respect for them. Ben Shmonim le Gvura, at 80 years old, he's already shown that he's got Gvura, he's already made it to 80 years old. That in and of itself is a show of might. And at that age already, he should recognize that his soul should be overpowering his body. Meaning a person lives his life when he's younger, so he wants more meat, he has more desire, he's younger, it's more difficult to overcome his desire. But when a guy hits 80 years old, so he shouldn't be like a 20 or 30 years old. I was once sitting at a simcha, and two old people were sitting next to me. So one guy said to the other, he said, you know, if you had a 30-year-old who acted like a 10-year-old, you'd say the man was retarded, right? Well, I see 80-year-old like me, and they're acting like 50 and 60 years old, and I'm telling you they're retarded. There's a certain behavior that's right for the age of 80 at some point. You're not as young as you used to be. Ben Tishin Lashuach, at 90 years old, the person's already bent over. He's already closer even physically to the grave. His strength is bent over. And again, over here, one understanding is that his strength should be in bending over the Torah, over Tefillah. That's where his strength should be. There's a story, Rabbi Feinstein, when he became an old man, so he was ill, and then he reached a point where he couldn't learn Torah anymore. So people would come to him and ask him for blessings, and he should pray over them. And he told his son once, he said, I shouldn't feel bad that I can't learn Torah. Maybe the only reason God left me alive on this earth is to give blessings. Maybe that's my job now. God left me as an old man to give blessings, to pray. Maybe that's my job at this stage of the game. God didn't give me the capacity to do anything else now. So maybe that's my job. Ben me'ah kilu met ve'afar uvatel min ha'olam. This is one of the more difficult lines in Pirkei Avos. 100 years old, it's as though he's died and passed from the world already. If a person reached the age of 100, so we say at that point he shouldn't have any desire. At 100 years old, if by then you're still thinking about with regard to the physical, a person should have no problem connecting and being a completely spiritual being. The last two Mishnayot are very interesting Mishnayot. Mishnayot are quoted by Ben Bagbag Hehe. Now those are funny names, Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe. So our sages say, we have a place in the Talmud in Kiddushin quotes Rabbi Yochanan Ben Bagbag. So we know there was a rabbi, the son of Bagbag. But our sages say that these two Mishnayot were told over by people who were converts. They were Romans who became Jews, and they learned and they became Jewish rabbis. And the Romans were ready to kill anyone who would convert. So they had to keep their names in hiding. So these rabbis, they couldn't reveal their names. They had to keep themselves clandestine. So they called themselves the sons of Avraham Avinu, or sons of Abraham. Because we know it says Avraham was the father of all Gerim. Avraham himself was like the father of all converts. And so they said, we're the son of Avram, who added a hey to his name. Avram and Sarai both added a hey to their name. Hey, we know, has the numerical value of 5. It's the 5th letter in the alphabet. So that's why the first Tana is Ben Bagbag. Bag, Beis Gimel, is 5. Beis is 2, it's the 2nd letter. Gimel is 3, it's the 3rd letter. 2 and 3 is 5. So he's the son of Avram, who added a hey to his name. That was the code name of Ben Bagbag. And the last Mishnah, Ben Hey, that's easy to understand. Hey, Avram and Sarai each added a hey to their name, right? So Ben Bagbag teaches us the following. Imagine a Roman who spent his time growing up with Roman education, and he's studying and searching, and he finds the Torah. And he doesn't just learn for a year or 2 years, he learns for such a long time that he becomes a Tana. He shows up in our Mishnah. And after knowing life as a Gentile and knowing life as a Jew, Ben Bagbag tells us, and this is, remember, these are the two concluding Mishnayot of Pirkei Avot, They are both by Gerim. Then Bagbag says, Hafochba vahafochba. Turn the Torah over, read it this way, read it that way. Turn it over again and again in your mind. Dekula ba. For everything is in the Torah. Anything you want to find, you'll find there. Uva techeze. And in the Torah, Ben Bagbag says, in the Torah you will see, in the Torah you will see everything that any type of advice you need to find, look in the Torah and you'll find it. Visiv uvala ba. And the person should become an old man and wear himself out in the Torah. Meaning even when you get old, don't let go. Torah is something that's for life. It's not for your year or a few months in Machon Meir. Here's the beginning. Here you got to learn quantity, and also you got to get tools so that you can keep learning. Visivu balava, wear yourself out. You become an old man with the Torah. Umina lo tazua, and don't let go of the Torah. Person shouldn't say, I learned Jewish theology. I went to Machon Meir for my year or two. Now I can move onward in life. No. Don't let go. Umina lo tazua. Don't let go of it and say, now let me study every other wisdom in the world. No, don't let go. She'en necha mida tova himena. For you have nothing, no measurement that is better than the Torah. It doesn't get better than this. You have nothing else that'll come close. So keep looking in here. And I thought to myself when preparing this Mishnah, how fitting it is that a ger tells us this. Someone who's specifically coming from the outside. He says, I've seen it all, and I'm telling you, you ain't going to find anything better than this. Ben Hei Hei Omer, Ben Hei Hei teaches us, and this is the concluding Mishnah, technically, of Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra. The more pain, the more gain. The more you have to work hard at getting something, the more wages you'll get. A person shouldn't think, why is it so hard for me to be Jewish? Why is it so hard for me to keep these mitzvot? Person should recognize as much work as you have to put into keeping it, the more wages that a person will get. And this brings us to the conclusion of Pirkei Avot. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we will begin the what's called the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, which is technically a conglomerate of brisos that were put together about the greatness of the Torah and how one acquires the Torah. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll pick up with that next week.